I thought I should strike while the iron is hot. I'm Joseph, this is Input English. If you look behind me, you see a house. This was someone's home. There has been a house on this site since the mid-1800s. This place is called Quail Hollow. That was the name applied to it by the owners of this place. When this ranch in Northern California was built, it went by a different name. In the mid-20th century, it was bought by a couple, and they renamed it Quail Hollow. The name actually makes sense. I'm going to turn around slowly, and you can see that we are in a hollow. As I turn around, you can see that there are hills around here. This is a valley, and in casual speech, you could call this a hollow. It's a valley. It's a flat area, or a relatively flat area, between the hills. It's an ideal place for a homestead, and that's what the builders of this ranch thought in the mid-1800s. The owners who renamed this ranch Quail Hollow were also the owners of a magazine called Sunset Magazine. They used this house as a retreat for themselves, and then later they used it in conjunction with their magazine. They did demonstrations here that were showcased in their magazine. Later in the 20th century, this ranch was sold to Santa Clara County. Santa Clara County is the next county to the north of here. That is the county in which San Jose is located. They apparently had some plans for this ranch, but because of changes in the finances of local governments, those plans were abandoned, and this property was transferred to Santa Cruz County. This county is Santa Cruz County. They turned it into a park. They maintain the buildings. They have a lot of hiking trails for people to use free of charge. Some of the trails are used also by people riding horses. When I arrived here, there was a long list of regulations. I believe there were 10 of them. And 8 out of the 10 began with the word no. No alcohol, no loud music, no dogs on the trail, no overnight parking. They have a lot of regulations to maintain the atmosphere of this park welcoming to all visitors. I started with an expression that I've used before in other videos, strike while the iron is hot. That idiom came out of blacksmithing. A good blacksmith knows that one needs to heat the steel up to the right temperature and then work it on the anvil while it is still hot. So strike while the iron is hot was the original expression out of blacksmithing. Now we use it metaphorically as an idiom. And it simply means that when conditions are right, we should act. Don't delay. Now, the context of me saying that to begin this video is that we have had rather challenging weather for the past couple of days. It has been raining and windy and cold. The sky has been completely overcast. And those conditions are not conducive to these activities. Today we have a window of opportunity. That is, for today, the weather is going to be beautiful. So I'm going to strike while the iron is hot. I'm going to go out and take a walk and bring you along. So I explained that this is a hollow. What about the quail? Quail are game birds. These are birds that have been traditionally hunted for sport and for food. California has its own California quail that has a very distinctive appearance. The California quail has a feather on its head that tilts forward, giving it a very distinctive appearance and a very distinctive profile. This mosaic shows you the shape of a California quail with that feather as a topknot quail hollow. This plaque is at the entrance of the house. Here we have a horse in this corral. The corral is attached to the stable area, so the horse is able to go into the stable or come out here into the corral area. Of all the activities in my life, I have not had much contact with horses. My mother was an avid horse rider. Near to her home, when she grew up as a youngster, she was able to get access to the riding stables and for very little money was able to take a horse out and ride. That was not an activity that we duplicated as we grew up. We rarely had opportunity to ride horses. Occasionally, we would get to a location, such as a national park, that had a concession, that is a business, that rented horses. The horses were usually very tame and very quiet. They were tolerant of young, inexperienced riders. So we got to ride horses in that context, but we didn't develop any skills of horsemanship. This is one friendly horse. I think it is common, at least in the United States, when one encounters a horse that appears to be that friendly, for people to reach out and touch it or stroke its nose, perhaps give it food. But I have to remember that I don't have any rights to do that. This horse is owned by someone else. This horse is cared for by someone else. And I'm just a visitor at a county park. And so I don't choose to try to touch the animal or stroke its nose. I don't make rules for other people, but that's the way I approach it. That's someone else's horse. This building here makes sense. Having all these horses here, one can anticipate that they will produce a lot of solid waste. We call the solid waste from a horse manure. And if you have a lot of manure, you need to have a plan to take care of it. This is a central repository for the manure that is removed from the stables and the corral. Manure can be composted and made use of later on. So this building is dedicated to managing the large amounts of horse manure produced by this park. Looking at the house from here, this is a lovely place. This no doubt was a very fun place to live. It's a cool spring morning here, and that should make us aware of the possibility of encountering a rattlesnake. Rattlesnakes do not maintain their body temperature metabolically. They maintain their body temperature by their behavior. If they need to warm their body, they position themselves in the sun. So this time of year, when it is cool, rattlesnakes may be sunning themselves in a little patch of sunlight. And for a hiker, that means we could encounter a rattlesnake. Now, rattlesnakes don't usually attack people. The most common setting in which a human being is bitten by a rattlesnake is when that person tries to handle that snake. So simply avoiding handling the snake is a great way to avoid being bitten by a snake. I think we are fortunate that the local government has chosen to preserve this ranch as a park. It's really a lovely place to bring one's family and just have a nice time in nature. I've never been to this park before. I found it based on an internet search, and this is my first visit. It's very quiet, and for that, I am very grateful. If I'm going to enjoy these natural surroundings, I don't want to be stampeded by huge numbers of people making a lot of noise. I appreciate how quiet this location is. Here we have birdhouse number 35, complete with a bird. The park has provided this opportunity for nesting. When one is visiting a location like this, one of the good strategies is to stay on the trail. That has a couple of benefits. One is it prevents us, the visitors, from trampling all the plants, thus preserving the vegetation. But for our benefit, staying on the trail decreases the amount of exposure we have to ticks. Ticks are small arachnids that attach themselves to animals, including humans. And the problem with ticks in this area is they carry a germ that causes a disease that's called Lyme disease. I have talked about that in other videos. So I avoid walking in tall grass. I stay on the path, and when I get back to the house, I'll take a look in the mirror and make sure I haven't picked up a tick or two. It's fairly common if you're hiking to get a tick on you, and it can attach and eventually cause disease. We want to guard against that. In front of us, the road, the dirt road, goes past several very large pine trees. These are native trees called ponderosa pine, and they are giants. Here you can see a recycling effort underway. The recycling is being done by nature. This is a large tree which has fallen. It's dead. You can see a lot of holes in it, and those holes were created by woodpeckers. You can see that the tree is rotting. It is deteriorating. It is being recycled by nature. Decades from now, there will be nothing left. However, all those nutrients will be back in the ecosystem. They will be available for plants and animals to use going forward. We have to remember that humans did not invent recycling. No. Mother Nature had been doing it for millennia before we got involved. There was a sign behind me here that explained that this land, these hills, like this one here, were part of an ancient seabed many millions of years ago. As the land was shaped by tectonic movement, these ancient seabeds were thrust upward and now are inland. We're not very close to the ocean. According to the sign, digging in this area would allow people to find shark's teeth and fossilized shells from ancient sea life. However, this is a county park, and looking for that type of treasure is forbidden. It is not permitted to come out here and try to find things that you would want to take home. Here you can see a mixed forest, and in the middle there is a tall pine tree. But there's something odd about that pine tree. All the pine needles are brown. The life cycle of pine trees does not include a deciduous phase where it loses all its needles. So if you see a pine tree and all the needles are brown like that, you may reasonably conclude that that tree is dead. Decades from now, it will have fallen and been recycled by Mother Nature. So why would a big pine tree, an apparently healthy pine tree, just die? In this area, pine trees are susceptible to fungal infections. There are fungal blights that kill pine trees, and in the context of pine trees, they're fairly contagious. In our area, near to where we live, we had a row of pine trees. The first one in the row died and was removed. The following year, the next tree died and was removed, and so on. And so over a period of 10 years, we watched a series of pine trees die, presumably from a fungal infection. Here you can see some wild berries on this fence. They're coming into bloom, and then they will produce their berries. You can see dew, that is moisture that condensed overnight on the leaves, and the sun is playing with that dew to give you that sparkling appearance. I just caught sight of a bee looking for a flower. These flowers are not quite ready for the bees. Here's a sign that explains some of the local creatures one might see here. It depicts the California quail. It also shows a picture of a birdhouse similar to the one we looked at. Remember that a bird flew out of that nesting box. This shows western bluebirds. So one would reasonably conclude that the bird we saw leaving that birdhouse could have been a female western bluebird. This area certainly has a lot of bobcats, but they're not commonly seen. Behind me, there is a creek, and this sign explains how this creek fits into the local watershed. This creek here is called Quail Hollow Creek, and it eventually connects with the San Lorenzo River and empties into the Pacific Ocean. I just passed some other people walking in the park, and it brought something to mind. If you've watched a lot of videos on this channel, you will perhaps recall that I put a lot of emphasis on noticing things, paying attention. If we use comprehensible input like this to acquire the English language, we have to actually pay attention to the story or the discussion. Otherwise, we don't get much out of that content. So I just passed a couple of people walking in this beautiful park, and I couldn't help but overhear their conversation. It had nothing to do with the park. It had nothing to do with nature. It had nothing to do with the beauty of this location. Rather, they were talking about mundane, routine, day-to-day activities, appointments, obligations. They were talking about their own life and just wandering through nature, probably missing a lot of the beauty that surrounds us. Now, bear in mind, I don't make rules for other people, and I'm not judging them harshly. I just observe that rather than being focused on this beautiful location and all the wonderful things we can see, they chose to discuss appointments. To each his own. From this vantage point, we are looking at that tree that fell that I talked about a couple of minutes ago. These are the roots of that tree. You can see that when the tree blew down, the roots just tore out of the soil. It appears that the roots were relatively shallow, and this tree was not well anchored to the soil. Interesting. Next to this tree is a eucalyptus. I'm wondering if perhaps this was a eucalyptus tree. So why would I speculate that that could be a eucalyptus? Eucalyptus trees are very hardy. They're not native plants, but most of us don't consider them invasive. They don't take over. They don't cause harm. They use a fair amount of water. But most of us in California accept eucalyptus as a welcome species, even though it's not native. They're very resistant to fire, that is, they will survive fire often, but their roots are relatively shallow and they tend to blow down. So I suspect that that rotting tree that we saw earlier was a eucalyptus tree that blew down in a storm. That's what the evidence points to. We have come to the pond. As I walked up here, I could hear a bullfrog. This pond is part of the history of the ranch, but they don't have a sign that explains many details about this pond. We can simply conclude that this is a pond, and it's on the premises of the ranch. I'm certain that there is a lot of wildlife in and around this pond, but the pond affords plenty of opportunities for these creatures to hide themselves from our view. Occasionally we hear a splash if some creature jumps into the water, but as we look at this pond, it doesn't appear to be teeming with wildlife. Nonetheless, it is teeming with wildlife. They're just very skilled at hiding themselves from our view. This loop trail lived up to its name. That is, it's really a loop. And I walked in one direction around the loop, and it returned me to the parking lot, which is right over there. I am thrilled to find this county park. It will afford lots of walking and hiking opportunities in the future. I'm impressed at how apparently unspoiled it is and underutilized. I don't know if you heard that sound. It's possible that the microphone picked it up. Perhaps not. It was a wild turkey. That is a male turkey, and that is a display. It is common to hear more turkeys than you see. Wild turkeys are native to this area and are commonly seen in the wild. I hope you enjoyed this little survey of the Quail Hollow Ranch Park. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.